Happy New Year and welcome back to the Podfather. I'm Jordan, as always, joined by
Alex. Hey everyone, Happy New Year.
Happy New Year. It's 2020. We started this back in old 2016. We're coming up to 4 years.
Yeah, was it January or February? Did we work the February?
It was February. I think February.
Yeah, cool.
I think it started properly in March. We could probably find out.
If any of our listeners have anything they want us to do for our fourth birthday, any special movies or any special requests, any guests you might want to see, you know, because what we would like to do is a little live episode, I think, again.
I we think we will do a live episode
for a long time.
Absolutely.
So, yeah, if you have any requests for that, give us a shout on Twitter. You can find us at the Podfather Pod or the Podfather Podcast at gmail.com or the Podfather on Facebook. That's
pretty
all
much
the
it.
Places.
Yeah. Well, we're happy to be here. And it's a new year, it's a new decade, and I just hope everyone's happy and healthy.
I hope you're all happy and healthy. I thought we would warm up with the awards season this year because the Oscars are coming soon, obviously.
It's starting, the awards.
And we sort of did a bit of Oscar predictions a couple of years ago, and I think that's always a bit fun.
Yeah, we did, didn't we? And all the categories that we predicted, I got right.
Did you? Oh, yeah, you did really well, didn't you?
Yeah. 28th of February 2016 was our very first episode.
There you go. Well, stay tuned for that. So going on to the awards this year, I thought that we would just have a quick little look at the Golden Globe nominations, which came out a few weeks ago, and just see what your thoughts are. We won't do full predictions, but we'll have a look at a few of them. So Best Motion Picture Drama, we've got 1917, which none of us have seen because that's not even out. Is it out now?
I don't think it's out here yet.
Like
or
a
it's
week
about to come out.
1917, The Irishman,
mm-hmm.
which might get my vote. Joker, which might get your vote. Marriage Story,
which I love,
which might actually get your vote.
Mm-hmm.
And then The Two Popes, which is actually a new one as well.
I saw that the other day with Liam. We
Did you
watched
watch it.
It's
on Netflix
good.
Or
on Netflix.
Is it good?
It's quite
with
interesting. With Hopkins and Jonathan Pryce, and they're playing Benedict and Francis.
Nice.
And it's based on real events.
And it's while Francis was a cardinal or
it's while Benedict is elected Pope. No one likes him and the Catholic popularity is going downhill and Francis was the obvious choice, popular-wise, but it didn't get it. And then they have a bit of a chat because he wants to resign from being cardinal. And Benedict's like, nah, lol, because that'll look bad.
And you'll be the next
and
Pope.
Have a bit of a chat. And they listen to Dancing Queen by ABBA. And
oh, wow.
I don't know. I wouldn't say it's my favorite movie of the year, but Liam and I got a bit out of it. Sort of that sort of boring, interesting, like The Crown or something, you know?
Yeah. Well, yeah. I mean, if you're into
People
historical
it,
things,
yeah,
I'd like to watch that. Would you pick Irishman or Marriage Story out of those?
Marriage Story.
And interestingly, three Netflix films in the Best Motion Picture for the
Golden
Globes.
Isn't that incredible,
three.
Actually?
It's pretty full on when you think about it. That includes Tribeca Productions, Sicalia Productions, Winkler Films, Heyday Films and Ride Back. So not just Netflix, but, you know, they are mainly Netflix, aren't they? They put up the money probably. I'll pick The Irishman out of the ones I've seen, which is two. So I'm going to watch Marriage Story probably this week because I watched Jojo Rabbit.
And you're in a Scarlett Johansson mood.
Yes, because she was amazing in that.
I heard good things about her.
Is she good in Marriage Story?
She's excellent in Marriage Story.
Fantastic.
And so is Adam Driver.
Speaking of ScarJo, best performance by an actress in a motion picture drama, Cynthia Erivo.
Yeah,
Harriet.
We know her. She's in...
Personally?
Well, we've watched movies and an episode that we've recorded that has never come out, we talk about two of her performances in Widows.
Yes.
And in Bad Times at the El Royale.
Well, good news for Cynthia Erivo fans. I think that episode actually might be coming in 2 weeks.
Fantastic.
So that works well.
Yeah, because she's playing Harriet Tubman in that film.
Fantastic. Scarlett Johansson, Marriage Story. Saoirse Ronan, did I say that right?
Little Women, right?
Yes, Little Women.
I'm
Did
seeing
you watch
that tomorrow.
It? Did you sing it tomorrow?
Yep, going
Where
gold
are you seeing it? Oh, you told me that. I'm going to try and watch that too. I love the way that name is spelt, I must say. I also like the way that Charlize Theron is spelt for Bombshell. And Renee Zellweger, she's got an accent on her E. That's cool.
For Judy.
For Judy. So that's a pretty tough category. Because Marriage Story is obviously apparently very good. Did you see the Harriet thing? Or
I haven't seen any of them yet except for Marriage Story in that category.
So we'll follow up on that because I think we'll probably try and see Bombshell together, hopefully.
Hopefully.
I'm really keen to see that when that comes out and obviously Little Women. So we'll pick ScarJo for now. Best performance by an actor in a motion picture drama. Christian Bale, Ford versus Ferrari. Which I didn't see,
but we wanted to.
Yeah, I still want to see it. Yeah, me I think too. It might still be showing at the Classic. Antonio Banderas, Pain and Glory.
Oh, that was a good performance, wasn't it?
Yeah, I think that will get my pick. Adam Driver, Marriage Story.
Yeah, but he's very good in it.
Joaquin
he's
Phoenix.
He's no Kylo Ren.
Joker.
And he'll win it too.
Do you reckon?
He will.
Do you reckon? Is that just because like he gets the awards all the time?
Yeah, I think he'll just win it. And good on him. He's a great actor, but not for this.
Like we said, he's done he should, you know, he's done this kind of performance before and better.
Yeah.
So why get it now, you know? It'd be like a
Leo DiCaprio.
Yeah, it'd be like that. And Jonathan Pryce, the two popes. Would you pick Jonathan Pryce or Adam Driver or Antonio?
I'd pick Antonio and then Adam. And then Jonathan. And what was the first one you said?
Christian Bale.
Which I can't comment on.
Yeah, I've heard good things, though, about that. And I want to see that movie. But, yeah, I don't see Ford vs. Ferrari, I don't know, doing well. Because it's a kind of niche topic.
It's less of an awardsy movie, it feels like. Yeah. The way it was marketed, anyway.
Best motion picture, musical or comedy. Now, I take a little bit of offense to this category. Because
the Golden Globes are bullshit. Let's be honest. Like, they just have so many categories so they can invite all the celebrities and the Hollywood Foreign Press can like hang out with everybody. Like, do you remember?
They're bullshit.
Do you remember? I think there was one year when Johnny Depp was nominated for fucking Alice in Wonderland. Like, nah, he was just the big name at the time and they wanted to hang out with him. Or they got nominated for The Tourist with Angelina Jolie and Ricky Gervais ripped them a new one.
Wow.
He's hosting again.
Yeah, and the Oscars are doing the no-host thing again.
The no-host.
I believe so.
You know what? That fucking worked.
Yeah. I think we'll talk a bit more about it. But I'm very fascinated by awards show hosting as a genre to dissect and complain about. Best motion picture musical comedy. Dolomite Is My Name, which we didn't see in Netflix movie.
I saw the first 5 minutes of it.
Was it interesting?
Yeah, because I watched it when we did our episode on the Disco Godfather. Yeah,
Jojo Rabbit, which, for this category, might get my pick. Knives Out.
Oh, I liked that a lot.
Which, I'm tossing up between Jojo and Knives Out for this. Once Upon a Time in Hollywood, which I don't think should be in the category.
No, but it was funny.
Yes, but it's not
uproariously funny at times, but it's also very reflective.
But all of his films are funny at times.
But is it a drama, though?
I think that's the most suitable category. I don't know. It's hard to say.
I mean, there's also a lot of music.
Well, maybe it fits more as a musical. But I think that's why, you know, I mean, I can't remember exactly what the... We'll have a look at the Oscar stuff soon. But the categories can be annoying sometimes, especially for people like... Tarantino, you know, even Knives Out and stuff like that, that are a little bit more, they're very genre-y but not genre-y at the same time because they cross all the genres.
Yeah. Well, so, and also The Irishman was really funny.
Exactly.
That could be in this category.
That
like
could be in this
watermelon
category.
Scene, that was as funny as anything I've seen in a comedy in the last year.
Yeah. 100%.
Or the, you know... with a charge, with a gun, with a knife, you run. Like, that's fucking the funniest line in a movie all year. Like, The Irishman should be in musical comedy.
Was Dolomite very musical?
The first 5 minutes, he's just a stand-up comedian.
Do they do any, like, singing or
Well,
do you know?
He ends up recording songs, I think.
Right.
But I don't think any of them are musicals this
year.
Yeah,
well,
except for Cats.
Rocketman.
Oh, and is that nominated too?
Yes.
Well, that should win.
For best musical or comedy, you reckon Rocket Man should win out of all these films?
No, but I think it's definitely the best musical.
I'm gonna go for Jojo or Knives Out. I don't want to elect Once Upon a Time in Hollywood as a musical or comedy, so it's the best film out of that bunch. But
and they just want Tarantino to show up to their party.
There you go. Best performance by an actress in a motion picture, musical or comedy. Oh, Ana de Armas in Knives Out.
Oh.
Who's gonna
and
be
you know
in
she's
Bond.
Gonna play and she's playing Marilyn Monroe.
Yes. Did you see the pictures?
Yeah,
she
retweeted them.
perfect, like a doppelganger.
Mm-hmm.
So that's going to be amazing. Awkwafina, The Farewell.
Oh, she's good in that.
Cate Blanchett, Where'd You Go, Bernadette.
I didn't see that.
Beanie Feldstein, Booksmart.
Yes, and that's an excellent movie. That should be in Best Buddy Motion Picture Comedy. Why is that not there?
See?
You know why? Because also the Hollywood Foreign Press hates women.
Oh. I can't comment on that, but I trust you. Emma Thompson, Late Night.
Didn't see it.
The only one I've seen is Knives Out, so I think I'd give it to Ana de Armas anyway, because that was an amazing performance.
It was a great performance.
Best performance by an actress in a motion picture.
It wasn't a
comedy.
Particularly funny performance, but it was an excellent performance.
Yes, but she wasn't the comedic role.
No, she wasn't.
You know who was the comedic role in that film?
Daniel Craig.
Best performance by an actor in a motion picture, musical or comedy. Daniel Craig, Knives Out. Roman Griffin Davis,
Jojo Rabbit,
which must be the kid.
Yeah.
He was great, but he wasn't really the comedic relief either, so Leonardo DiCaprio, Once Upon a Time in Hollywood.
Now, he was hysterical in that movie. Let's be honest. That was the comedic performance of the year.
He was. Well, no, okay, well, maybe you're allowed to have... In a film like Once Upon a Time blah, 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 in Hollywood, it should be like that could be in the best picture category or the best drama category, but maybe if it's got a very comedic role, that could slip into another category. You know what I mean? Maybe you can cross-pollinate.
But and on the other hand, you know, it can be a serious performance in a comedy as well. But it's still the performance is in a comedy.
Goes both
or is
ways.
It a comedic performance in a drama? Let's
Oh, we should do our own awards.
The Podfather Award.
We should do a little Podfather Award. Let's think about that. Taron Egerton, Rocket Man.
Mm-hmm.
Eddie Murphy, Dolomite Is My Name.
Mm-hmm.
So let's give
another
that
Netflix
to,
movie.
Yeah,
by the way.
Yes, that's the yes. I'm going to give that to Daniel Craig, probably.
I think so.
Because I don't want to spoil Knives Out, but there is. He's
a very,
he has
very funny boy.
Punchline that I believe is the climax of the movie. So, you know. we'll have a quick look at Best Animated Motion Picture. Frozen 2, How to Train Your Dragon, The Lion King, Missing Link, Toy Story 4. I didn't see any of them.
I love that The Lion King's in that category after all that talk about how it's a live action. It ain't. It's
yeah.
So I mean, what it's do you also think? A shit movie, so it shouldn't win that
you
category.
You think it shouldn't count? Wait, it shouldn't count as a live action or it shouldn't
no,
count as an animated?
It should be in the category that they've put it in. So I like that it's in that category.
I don't
think it should be in that category because it's a shit movie. But I think if they're going to nominate it in a category, it has to be in that category.
I don't think it should be in animated.
What should it be in? It's literally an animated movie.
It's a completely animated movie, but it's emulating real life. And
yeah,
I think maybe we need a new category. If these are going to be a bigger thing.
Nah, if it's made in a computer, it's an animated movie.
Yeah, but it's not
just
the
as animated
as
Toy Story
ones.
4. It's exactly
not,
as animated.
Yeah, I 100% get that. But it's going for something different. You know what I mean? I don't like it. I don't think it should be there.
But also you can put like claymation movies in that same category. It's a very broad category.
It probably needs to be sectioned off. You need to have different styles.
Can you imagine?
You've got to have claymation. You've got to have, you know, live action animation, fun animation.
Fun animation.
All right, best motion picture. Where are we? Oh, no, we'll do best director. Then we'll be done soon. Bong Joon-ho, Parasite.
Yeah, Parasite.
Is that how you say it?
That should be nominated for one of the best picture
you
categories.
You saw that?
It's one of I think it's that and Marriage Story are my favorite movies of last year. I think Parasite pips it.
I got to see it. And he did Snowpiercer too, right?
Snowpiercer?
Yeah, I haven't seen any of those. Sam Mendes, 1917. It looks a bit shit, that movie. I'm not going to lie.
It
looks a bit boring.
After Dunkirk and other movies that have come out in the last few years, war movies. I mean, I'm excited because Colin Firth's in it.
Yeah. He looks pretty good.
But I might wait for it to hit streaming.
Todd Phillips, The Joker, man. Martin Scorsese, The Irishman, and Quentin Tarantino, Once Upon a Time in Hollywood. I think this will be the big, for us, you know, between the two of those, going up against each other for this and probably for the Oscars, it's going to be tricky.
It'll be fun.
It'll be very fun to see.
But I also kind of think that Boon Joe should win.
Best original song, Beautiful Ghosts by Cats.
Oh, did they write an original song for that movie?
Guess so.
Just so they could put it in this category.
Andrew Lloyd Webber, Taylor Swift. Oh, best TVs? Okay, should we just...
Yeah, we should go and talk about the movie. We're talking about The Gentleman today. New Guy Ritchie flick. But before we do that, we also have to do a fucking biscuit review.
Okay, let's do that.
All right.
Golden Globes is shit and boring.
So,
we're going to watch them anyway.
This biscuit will make sense if you've seen The Gentleman, why I've chosen it. It's Arnott's Shapes, cheese and bacon. There's a scene involving bacon.
I'm already forgetting.
There's a very disturbing scene involving bacon. Maybe not bacon itself.
Oh, he goes and gets it from the... No.
There's a pig. Remember the pig?
When?
A character fucks a pig in The Gentleman.
Oh, yeah, that did happen.
Yeah. So that's why we've chosen this biscuit.
Well, you don't see it explicitly. Anyway, we'll talk about that in a minute. I think these are already probably going to be pretty good. I don't know if I haven't had these in a while.
And
these
they also come in the little tiny packets in the share pack.
This is an example of a flavour of shapes that I'd never buy myself.
Mmm.
Partly because I feel like they would be bad for you.
Mm-hmm.
Not that they'd be any worse than the other ones, but...
They'd taste unhealthy.
Yeah.
And, like, why do they taste like pork product? It's a biscuit.
That's the weird thing, but I do kind of get around them at the same time.
I think the little share packets are the best way to eat them because there's, what, 8 little shapes in one of those packets? That's a perfect dose of these, I think.
They don't have a lot of flavour on them.
No. It's just, pork in my mouth.
That's a good quote, Jordan. they're like a 6.
I'm going to go 6.
They're like a 6.
0.2. So it's 6.1.
They're not amazing. Shapes, I think, have pretty clear tier levels. You've got like tier number 1, which is pizza and barbecue.
And nacho cheese.
I don't know about that.
Okay.
And then tier number 2, which is nacho cheese. And, well, I don't know. There's too many flavours of these things. Chicken crimpy.
Oh, they're good with peanut butter.
What?
Or hummus. Because they're quite flavourless on their own.
How many shapes have we done?
Let's have a look. Just...
I find shapes
we did
to
nacho
be...
cheese. They got an 8. And that's it. These are the only 2 shapes we've done.
We should do more shapes.
Oh, no, we did barbecue shapes, didn't we?
Must have.
Yeah, because we did them with Liam.
I find that shapes are pretty good for,
barbecue shapes got 6.25, so they're just above these cheese and bacon shapes.
Oh, that's a bit harsh on barbecue shapes.
That's because I don't like them.
I feel like shapes are the perfect, like, if you need some good carbohydrate energy, like if you're feeling a bit faint or a bit weak and you haven't eaten properly, and not that eating shapes is eating properly, but if you just like, if you need to just kind of like have a handful of carbs and just kind of, get some energy, they're really good at that.
Yeah.
Probably because they're probably got all kinds of shit sugars and preservatives in them as well. But, you know, if it's the worst case and you're running from the apocalypse or whatever, take some shapes in your small bag.
There you go. That's been health tips with Alex. And you can enjoy it. You can enjoy a 6.1 biscuit with a 6.125 film like Public Enemies or a 6.15 film like Key Largo.
Aruba, Jamaica, ooh, I wanna take you to Bermuda, Bahama, come on, pretty mama.
Guy Ritchie, The Gentleman.
I got the impression...
Yes, Alex was sitting next to me.
Oh, yeah, we went to see it together at the Sun Theatre in the Barclay screen.
On the very first day of the year.
On January 1. What a way to start your year. And I got the impression sincerely from Jordan that he didn't like it.
Well, I sincerely didn't like it. What did you think?
I think it was overall a disappointment, but I didn't hate it.
Okay.
I think it was fun.
There were fun bits.
I think it was fun, and there were some bits that I really enjoyed and some characters I really enjoyed, but it was not... Especially as we've been speaking about, especially in a year with Scorsese and Tarantino, I mean, I don't know whether we can talk a bit more about whether Guy Ritchie deserves to be compared to those people or not. But he works in a similar space. Half of his films are gangster films,
and they're trying to be those. He's like what Chris Martin is to Radiohead to those directors.
You mean what Chris Martin is to you too?
Okay, or that too.
Please.
Well, because, those people are trying so hard to be someone else, to have someone else's career.
Yes. So in a year when we've had those movies, it definitely came across a bit more like budget. Or not, sorry, not budget, but B grade and just like, Yeah.
And not, funny not you as say good. That. I think if the budget had been smaller on this movie and hadn't tried, like it looked quite polished in a sort of TV commercial way. But if they'd poured a little less money into this, I think it would have been a better film.
Well, I think that could be. I mean, we've seen Lock, Stock, and Two Smoking Barrels. We've seen Snatch. I've seen Rock and Roller. I don't remember it very clearly. I remember it being quite good. So maybe we should watch that soon. And now we've seen The Gentleman, which is kind of all of his gangster films.
Yeah, unless you want to include King Arthur.
That doesn't count.
No. Or, no.
And
or
I
Aladdin.
Think, I think that... well, I think what we might have said about Snatch at the time, one of the problems with Snatch, although maybe you liked it more than me, I can't remember. But I feel like Snatch is pretty good, but the beauty of Lockstock is that it is, you know, first film, small budget, it all gets done and it's fucking actually really good.
Yeah.
And then I think we see him struggling with more resources, I suppose, in Snatch and then all these other films that have come since, especially maybe this one, because, yeah, it's just not as – it doesn't capture the same – I don't think any of his other films have actually captured that same magic that Snatch – Lockstock did.
And I think partly it has to do with him Lockstock is very much a low budget. He's like a – it's a proper, like, geezers, street fighting, like street-level gang stuff, right? Whereas now that Guy Ritchie's had all this success and he was married to Madonna and is a rich boy, he can't make movies about that level of crime anymore. And that's why a lot of these guys in this film are a bit more high level and they're wearing nice suits and designer clothes. But it just feels disingenuous and it's like, all right, mate, let's do it. Well, we're just a common folk stealing marijuana. but like he's just like, it doesn't feel real. Coming from
it does. A lot of it did feel somewhat forced in that way, and also just they were all quite caricaturey, except for, and we'll talk a bit more about it later. I think the most genuine gang, so to speak, or section was probably Colin Farrell and his guys.
Yeah,
that was probably the shining part of it.
Felt much more true to his older films.
Yes, and that was dealing with a bit more. Yeah, of that sort of lower socioeconomic areas, South London boys, la la la, all that stuff. And it was good to see that as well because that mirrored a lot of what was happening now. There was a guy called Bugsy Malone actually in the film and did some music, who is a popular grime artist in the UK.
Yeah.
So I really like that side of it. I don't know how well – it's hard to say from us looking from Australia how well he represented all of that. It seemed pretty – good though, and pretty like current and topical, and I actually quite like grime sometimes. It's fun, so that was good to see.
Yep.
But you know, like you said, that stuff's real, really happening. Whereas, I mean, are there people like Matthew McConaughey's character actually?
Why is he in the movie?
He was good though.
No, he wasn't.
I liked him.
Matthew McConaughey all over the place, and that first there's a first scene where he goes into a bar and he's like, all right, mate, or whatever he says. Can I have a pint? Like, oh, what are you doing? And then it's shot like an ad, and he's sitting there, and there's a voiceover, and it's, all right. I'm sitting here in London, and I'm having a crime is all. And then it's just so shot like one of his ads.
Well,
and
I didn't mind any of
hello,
his stuff.
Darling.
I agree that maybe he probably didn't have to work too hard for this film, but I did like what he did. I think he was good. But yeah, he was probably just Matthew McConaughey the whole time. He didn't really put a lot of effort in, but it worked for me. But I know what you mean. And going back to what you were saying about...
I'm a lion.
Going back to what you were saying about it looks polished. At the same time, like did you remember the title sequence? It felt like really... It
looked James Bondy.
Really like James Bondy, like early 2000s, like tacky. Like that was not a... I've been talking with our friend Nick about title sequences actually, because he's doing he's a designer and he's doing this online course just about titles. And we were talking about how the title sequence industry is like a big thing these days.
Yep.
It's huge.
And if you look at a lot of the Netflix shows in the last 3 years, title sequences are a big deal. And do you have a long one that people are going to skip every time? Do you have a short one, like something like Breaking Bad or Better Call Saul's title sequences are really good as well?
Yeah.
It's like a little 30 seconds, boom, boom, boom.
Just a sidebar on that. I don't know about you, but I mean, I never skip them. on all of the popular streaming services, you can skip them. Yeah. There's a little button that says skip intro. I actually find that really offensive. It's kind of, I mean, like it's
oh my God.
it's not quite like, I mean, you know, I don't sit and watch all the credits to films, but I do believe that that is a nice thing to do.
And, you know, you get to look at the names of the people.
Yeah, and I mean, working in a cinema, we used to have, especially the older people, we used to have people who would sit through the credits of all the films, and it is a sign of respect. And, okay, credits, I get it, it's over, you're not going to miss anything, I suppose. You know, it's good to sit for a few minutes and you can get up. But, like, skipping the title, I know that you're binge-watching things, but, like, I think it's rude to do that, well, personally.
If I'm binging, I will skip. If I'm watching week to week, I won't skip. And some shows I don't skip because some shows do different things in the title each week.
But
if it's just like the same pictures of the cast coming up, like, hey, this is us. It's like, no, I'll skip that. I don't care. I've seen it before.
Well, we can agree to disagree.
Okay.
Back to the gentleman titles. They were pretty shit, actually. Yeah, and that wasn't a good way to start the film.
No.
Because, yeah, it was weird. It was a bit weird.
Yeah.
Because it was, like, all flamey and like, they were all, like, half-silhouetted, black and whitey. Like, I don't know. It was weird. It wasn't...
It felt like Austin Powers or, like, Steve Martin's Pink Panther 2.
Had it been a comedy, it would have been fine.
It kind of was a comedy. It wanted to be a comedy. And it was... So, here's the plot.
Yeah.
I don't mind
the premise is, and I want to say why I like the premise. The premise is it's basically about Matthew McConaughey's character who moved to the UK from the US when he was young, and he kind of grew up around the rich folk, the lords and stuff, had a good education, kind of got a free ride, and then he finds an interesting way to run a big marijuana farm network by essentially creating them underneath of big lordships who maybe struggling to keep their lordship and grounds running, like a Downton Abbey in the 21st century. Like, it's not like it used to be. Those places aren't actually easy to keep up, and arguably maybe you shouldn't keep it up. Maybe you should just take your big lord money and move to a little apartment in London. But anyway, that's a different conversation. So he basically, you know, he runs a marijuana farm underneath them and gives them some money, which helps them stay alive and, you know, la, 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 la. So it's a good premise. And it, the one thing that I appreciated about it was I don't remember ever really seeing a film that was actually about marijuana as the main drug. It's always, you know, cocaine or crack or heroin sometimes.
And part of the reason is because it's just a profitable and it's going to go legal anyway. So they're trying to beat it becoming legal, actually. It's not about some prohibition something. Well, it kind of is, but it's less about the fact that it's an illegal drug and it's ruining lives, blah, 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 and it's the racket. It's more about, actually, let's beat the rush. This is going to be on the market legally in the next however many years.
Yeah.
So let's make money from that, which is pretty interesting.
Yeah, and yeah, like you just said, it's not the most harmful drug in the world, at least physically by any means.
I've never done it, so I wouldn't know.
Oh, thanks. Good one, Jordan. And it's just not a topic that's covered as much in this genre, probably because it's seen as a bit less risky and thus less, you know, flashy. Yeah. But I liked it. I was like, oh, cool. This is interesting. So that was good. That's the premise. Mm-hmm. And then it's kind of about how he wants – what's his character's name again?
Who cares?
It's about how Matthew McConaughey's character wants to sell the business, you know, go and retire with his lovely wife, whom she was actually in Downton Abbey, right?